Imagine being a pop star since you were a teenager, adored and worshipped, and imagine you're mega rich too. This happened to a young man from rural Cheshire whose dreams came true very, very young. My guest today on Man Week is the celebrity biographer Sean Smith, whose latest book is about the pop star, actor, and fashion icon Harry Styles, The Making of a Modern Man. Hi, welcome back to Radio Gorgeous.
It's good to be here. Thank you very much.
So let's delve straight in. Please, can you tell us why Harry Styles is a modern, inspiring role model for the young?
Well, I wrote a whole book explaining why I thought he was a modern man. In fact, I was inspired to write the book because of some quotes from the director, Olivia Wilde, who's directed him in a film, and they've obviously been in a well-publicized relationship since then. And she described him as a modern man and also said that he had an absence of toxic masculinity. And I was very interested in that, and I wanted to find out how he had developed from a star on the X Factor to somebody who was a role model for not just a young generation, but all generations, how he projected concerns that we should all have. And that is the secret of being a modern man. Be accepting that there is a great deal of diversity, there's a great deal of worry and concern, and young people get it better than the old millennials, unfortunately.
Okay, great. So let's find out how he got to this place. Sean, you're always good at finding out about stars' early life. Tell us about Harry's.
Well, Harry grew up in rural Cheshire, as you said, quite a quiet existence. I think he said quite at the beginning of his fame journey that nothing much happened. But one of the interesting things about his childhood was he had an elder sister who Gemma, who's very, very bright, a mother, Anne, who is a very forward-thinking and modern mum, in fact. And so it was not a female-dominated household, but certainly he grew up understanding much better than boys of his age what it was like to be a girl and to be aware of the things that concern women growing up. And I feel that that has really worked to his advantage. He's been able to embrace, for want of a better word, feminism in a way that other pop stars haven't been able to do.
He's not playing lip service, he really understands it. That's the difference, isn't it?
Yes, and home environment is very, very important in that. Especially when, he was only 16 when he went out into the big world. But his mum always treated him as a grown-up. So one of the interesting things about Harry is that he has been able to mix and be influenced by older people. And that association has meant he could absorb many more ideas. He's a very intelligent, articulate chap. I mean, behind a bit of pop star bravado, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But he also, for instance, he's interested in philosophy. He had a friendship with Alain de Botton, and he's very well read. I always love the story of him spending his 25th birthday by himself in Tokyo, reading a book by a famous Japanese novelist, and that's what he did. And I thought, that's rather cool.
Yeah. So he doesn't mind being different, and he also is, well, he's going sort of towards intellectualism, really interestingly.
Yes, I think he
Or do you think it's a pose, or do you think it's genuine?
Oh, I think it's genuine. I think the people he's associated with are bright, intelligent, forward-thinking people who are interested in things that we should be interested in. The Women's March in the United States, the Black Lives Matter, the fact that he goes on stage with a pride flag and a Black Lives Matter flag, and everybody is more than welcome in his world. And I really like that about it, about Harry.
And he believes in kindness, doesn't he?
Well, treat people with kindness is his famous slogan. And that great video with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I mean, that was just inspired.
I believe that kindness is love. So that's what he's really, he is spreading love, isn't he? Which is a wonderful thing to do.
Well, yes, I suppose so. I don't think one wants to be sentimental about Harry Styles. I think he is a very smart man who has a...
is he a businessman as well?
Well, he took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say he's very smart in the business world. His dad, who he wasn't estranged from in any shape or form, was very much part of his life growing up, but...
They were divorced.
They were divorced, and they split up when he was a small boy.
Mm.
But he was involved in the financial world, and
wasn't he what's it called, a financial advisor?
He was. I'm not quite sure what a financial advisor
is. Oh, I know what they are. Yeah, they know everything about money.
So anyway,
he's heard that in the background, hasn't he? It's all to do with what your environment is. So he's heard someone being sensible about money, you know.
Yes, I mean, he's able to be a pop star on the one hand and yet look after the pennies on the other
like
hand.
Like Mick Jagger.
Ed Sheeran is very similar to that. He's very shrewd where his fortune is. And he's, I mean, Harry's worth £80 million. He's still only 27, 28.
Amazing.
So he knows what to do. But I love the story... about when Ed Sheeran, they were good friends, passed his driving test and Ed got a Mini. And Harry Styles turned to him and said, "What are you doing? Get an Aston Martin."
And what happened? Did he get
He got an Aston Martin, of course. Yeah. You still got to have some frivolous money, even if you're sensible.
Yeah.
Especially if you're worth millions and millions.
So, yeah, we said that his... I've noticed, I mean, he is a grounded pop star, isn't he? I mean, pop stars aren't like they used to be. I mean, you know, we think of them as taking drugs, sleeping with loads of women, being wild. It doesn't seem like Harry ever went through that phase, did he?
Well, I don't know exactly what he got and gets up to behind closed doors, as it were. But I think he very quickly got sick of being photographed leaving various West End nightclubs with his gang of friends. And he is very private about that. If you look at photos of Harry, he has a particular scowl or grimace for an unwelcome photo. Or he'll suddenly be scratching his forehead, so all you've got is his hand. And he does not like intrusion.
Well, just think what he's had since he was 16.
He's
had no privacy, you know.
Well, he does have privacy now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he's created it, but he's made that happen.
Absolutely.
He? Yeah.
And, you know, it's a well-known story, but for several years, nobody knew where he actually lived. He was living in the attic of a good friend, Ben Winston, who now lives in LA with his family and is the best mate of James Corden. It's quite a small world.
Quite an English world.
Yeah. Right. There is a little
English posse.
Enclave there, and they're very much part of it. But Harry, you know, he lived there with them in Hampstead Garden suburb for a couple of years, and nobody knew. And it's a great story, but it happens to be a true story.
So so that's again his clever. He can disappear if he wants to. He can, because imagine having to grow up. You know, I mean, it's kind of worse than being a royal in a way, because at least royals have got, you know, people respect them and things. But being a pop star, it's like people want your blood, your soul, your spirit. You know, I mean.
Well, forever. I mean, it is well known, obviously, that the search for scandal and headlines is something that goes on throughout your career when you're so much in the public eye. I mean, Harry Styles is the most searched for or was the last year on Twitter and had the most followers of any UK person on Twitter, like 50 million. Oh. And it's got even more on Instagram. I mean, other famous stars have even more than that, but in UK terms, that's absolutely huge. And I also think it's quite interesting that when he started out, people were always looking to label him, you know, if he was in the company of somebody who we all knew was gay.
Then suddenly, Harry's gay.
Yeah. Was the headline. The implication, the inference was the same. But in fact, you know, he was with a friend. It's something totally different that the media sometimes don't get in their rather...
They're unsubtle.
Yeah, you know, and slightly dated way of looking at things.
Yeah. So let's talk about One Direction. How did that happen so quickly if he was only 16?
Well, he went for a rehearsal to the X-Fire, not the rehearsal, sorry, to an audition.
And as a solo artist.
Yeah. That was up in Manchester, the Old Trafford place. And he got through. His first judges were Simon Cowell, Nicole... and Louis Walsh, I think that's right. Mm-hmm. And Louis Walsh turned him down, and the other two put him through, and Simon Cowell came out with the immortal phrase, "I think you could be quite good." But Simon Cowell is extremely shrewd, and he saw something in Harry very early on. But the reason, quite cleverly, that they didn't let Harry pursue the solo spot on the show was because he wouldn't have won. Now I know One Direction didn't actually win the X Factor, but Matt Cardle was extremely good on the X Factor in 2010 and near enough won every week. So what happened was that by going into One Direction, it was as if they could move along together, these five very different young guys, all with, you know, they all had a sort of like a twinkle in their eye and a great smile. And Cowell suddenly realised that young girls really like them. Matt Cardle was already 10 years older than them at this point. So he wasn't in competition with One Direction. In fact, none of the... Later, people on the show were really in competition for that age group. And I mean, famously, they would have girls outside the recording, the rehearsal studios, screaming their heads off. And, you know, the media, of course, "Oh, it's just like the Beatles," which, of course, it wasn't. But however, it was a start. And the whole business model for One Direction was absolutely brilliant. It wasn't just in this country. They were over in Los Angeles before you could blink. And
he wanted them to be big in America.
Oh, yes. That's the way it goes now. Mm. That it's what happened with Adele. Mm. It's what happened with Ed Sheeran. Mm. And it's what happened with One Direction.
The management take them straight over.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, you start off small. Mm. And, I mean, One Direction actually started off in support of a group whose name I can't even remember. They, you know, just vanished without trace. But it was a start. I think they were a TV reality type group, and they got noticed, and then by the time they released their first record, they were big. You know, it was like coincided, and exposure in the States happened at the same time as exposure throughout the world, and they immediately didn't ignore the huge markets of Japan and Australia, and it was just...
It became global.
It was a joy to watch. Mm. But the interesting thing, one of the interesting things about One Direction is they really only went for a little over 4 years.
Wow.
I mean, it seems like they were, you know, so massive. It must have been, but longer. But with most groups, but particularly with boy bands and girl bands, they tend to only last a generation, at least in their first... go, and that's 5 years. Mm-hmm. If you think of yourself as a 12, 13-year-old schoolgirl.
Mm-hmm.
5 years later, you're going to university. You are a different person. Or you're going to college, or you're starting your first job. You'll always be a fan of your first group. That's how it works. But you've so that tends to happen, that the generation's moved on and you've got to start again as a solo artist or something like that. One Direction was always built around Harry Styles, in my opinion. I spoke to people that when they went to a One Direction concert, if you closed your eyes, you knew when Harry Styles was about to sing his line because the decibel volume went through the roof. And he was always slightly different, wasn't he? By the end of it, he looked very different. I mean, he was suddenly wearing those wonderfully flamboyant Gucci suits, and he had his hair. He looked more like he was Michael Hutchins than one of the One Direction members. And interestingly enough, I mean, he had everything set up. Zayn left first, which I think served Harry very well, because he took all the flack, as it were.
Yeah,
whereas
for splitting them up.
For splitting them up. It was all Zayn's fault. Mm. Whereas, you know, Harry was, I'm pretty sure, was always going to leave One Direction at the right time.
Yeah.
The record company, the only one, Columbia, the only one they wanted to take on was Harry, and they were already One Direction, but they wanted Harry. He had American management completely set up, completely separate from the whole UK organisation behind One Direction. He was a solo star when One Direction went on hiatus. We didn't know that at the time, but it was all there ready for him. And of course, he had a fantastic first record.
Brilliant. So, I mean, what's incredible about Harry is that just the success has just been phenomenal. You know, most people have ups and downs, but he doesn't seem to have had a down, really, apart from COVID, which we've all had.
Well, yes, but even during COVID, Harry has really moved forward. He's made two or three films.
Now, how did he find out he could act? Has he been going to dramas? Has he been going to acting school?
Well, he did he did little more than school plays, etc. But he didn't do any drama school stuff. But he had a natural ability that they discovered on the set of Dunkirk, which of course he publicized by being in it to a huge extent. You know, the film producers are not silly. You know, get Harry Styles in One Direction in your film, you're going to put a few extra pennies on the box office. And that's what happened with Dunkirk, which I think took 250 million or something. You know, I may be underestimating it, but it was hugely successful. But he was very good in it. And during the COVID emergencies, you know, he's made two films, one with Olivia Wilde.
And, who is now living with, I think. I saw that today when I looked.
Really? Yeah. Okay, yeah, in Los
Angeles.
They're
renting a place.
That surfaces from time to time as people try and, photographers try and discover where it is.
Yeah.
Obviously, she is.
But she was married, isn't she?
She has two children, so obviously that comes into the.
And is that from one person?
Yes. Mm.
He's an actor.
But
she's obviously split up with him. Well, it was obviously happened on the set. Was she directing him then?
Yeah, she was directing the film Don't Worry, Darling.
Mm.
I think I've got that right.
He's a policeman in it.
No, that's the other one. Oh. That's called My Policeman.
Okay.
That's a completely different film.
Okay.
That was the one that he went into after that.
Okay.
That was filmed in and around the South Coast, around Brighton a lot of the time. It's set there, and it's the story of a police constable in the 50s in a relationship with the famous novelist Ian Forster. That's what it's
based
on.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a proper film, I think.
Yeah, I like.
And then, of course, he was.
It's the first one a Hollywood film then.
Yeah, it's set in Hollywood, although. It stars Florence Pugh.
So
she's the co-star in that one.
Mm. And that's where he obviously met the girlfriend.
Yes, they met on set, but I would hesitate to say that they were in a relationship on set. They were certainly in a relationship after the film.
Now let's talk about Harry only goes out with women who are older. What's that about?
Well, that's a lovely media sort of headline.
Seems quite true, though.
Well, he was with the French model Camille Rowe, and Kendall Jenner is
they're the same age, yeah.
Yeah, they're the same age. Mm. Cara Delevingne, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, this all comes about because of the early relationship with Caroline Flack, the late Caroline. And that, I think, has had a huge effect on Harry's attitude towards what we were talking about earlier,
his desire
for privacy and that sort of thing. So that had a lot of unfortunate headlines connected with it. That you know, that she was shouted at out in the street and that sort of thing, and was treated quite appallingly. Well. By the public as well as the media, but the media set the tone, and we all know how tragically that ended. And Harry really doesn't talk much about his relationships or his. In fact, he doesn't talk about them at all. Mm. He did come out with one quote, which basically said, "You know, Caroline's a lovely person. Leave her alone." And that was after their relationship had finished, which, you know, was the decent thing to say. But other relationships he's had since then, he doesn't talk about. And why should he?
Yeah, yeah. You know, just because we're all interested.
Well, we're interested, but he doesn't need them for publicity because he's got his music, he's got his fashion, he's got his acting.
Yeah.
So
he's famous enough not to need it.
We don't need to know what's going on.
But he does like older women, and I'm wondering if that's because he respects his mum and his sister, or maybe he likes being mothered, you know.
Well, I think that's a very sort of like a
obvious thing to say.
Yeah.
But you know, psychologists would say.
Well, I don't know really.
She's 10 years older than him, that's quite a big gap. You know.
Well, yes and no. My first partner in life was 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
So, you know, you things happen, you drift into things, and you don't think, you don't, it's not a tick box start a relationship.
No, but also maybe he's more mature because he had to mature young at 16 and have responsibilities.
Well,
grown up than
Yeah, I think we covered. I think we said that earlier, didn't we? When you know the influence of his elder sister and his mother on him, he had a very good attitude towards women and towards older people, both men and women. Absorb their ideas, find them interesting.
Mm.
You know it. On a superficial level, I mean, it does help that Olivia Wilde is exceptionally beautiful. But, you know, we'll just gloss over that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, but obviously, you know, their brains have met.
Yes, indeed. And she's very much an activist and promotes things and is in favour of things which are important I hope this hasn't become a cliche now, but the Me Too generation, certainly in Los Angeles, she is very much behind all the initiatives and things that they want. I mean, an actor on the set that Harry joined her film when the original actor was basically sacked by Olivia Wilde. I mean, it's all alleged in inverted commas, but it was supposed to be because of his poor behaviour on set. So everybody loves Harry on set, you know.
That's another thing. Everybody loves Harry Styles.
Well,
doesn't he?
He has it, but he doesn't bring an ego to the table.
He's a nice guy.
I think Ed Sheeran's a bit like that as well. Mm. You know, this is the modern way, the modern man way. You don't have to be the big I am all the time. You know, you get on with the job, and if you're good at it, people respect you.
It's really good. It's really good, actually. It's completely different than the kind of, the thrusting male that has to dominate everybody. Yeah, to get his own way. Yeah, no, it's really good. Tell me about the term toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. Well, that's really an extension of what you were just saying, that, you know, that you don't have to, in the modern world, you don't have to be laying a macho ego on everybody all the time. Obviously, famously in his fashion choices, Harry has promoted, as it were, gender fluidity, hasn't he? And in his joining with Gucci and with the people he uses as his gurus in the fashion world, Harry Lambert and Harry Reid, you know, these are forward-thinking people in the fashion world.
And he's just launched his own gender-neutral beauty brand called Pleasing.
Yeah, great name, isn't it?
Yeah, which means that men and women, well, who are, they're not even called men and women now, they can all wear it. Anyone can wear it.
Yeah, it's a very smart marketing move. Yeah. As we were talking about, you know, it was only a matter of time before before Harry went ahead and you know, launched his own brand. I mean, he is
a brand, really, isn't
he? He is a brand already, but also in Los Angeles, the people he associates with, his management, the Azoffs, the Kardashians and the Jenners, these are people who know how to make, you know, eye-watering sums of money through promotion and
product,
handling their business in the right way.
Mm.
I mean, everybody always sneers at the Kardashians to a certain extent, but they are leaders in how to promote yourself, how to make money out of yourself and be the product yourself. And to a certain extent, Harry Styles is like that. He is the product. Therefore, he's going to sell himself through various outlets. And one of them is this new line, Pleasing, and it's going to be massively successful, I would have thought. It's very much how celebrities are going these days. If they're big enough, then they're going to have their own outlet, the sort of Gwyneth Paltrow line.
Yeah, exactly. So what about his accent? I just listened to an interview with him and it really does move all over the place. I mean, it really does go American. But again, he can be forgiven because he's lived in LA a long time. He left home at 16. He hangs out with people from all over the world. Have you listened to him? I have.
Yes, I agree with you. It is a bit sort of all over the place, but then, you know...
Maybe he is. I mean, as in he has been, hasn't he?
Yeah, I certainly think to some extent. It's quite interesting to see next time round when he makes a new album, if he is different vocally in any shape or form. If you think about the biggest stars, I mean, Elton John's always had an American twang, hasn't he? Robbie has an American twang. This is to their singing voice.
Yeah.
And... Ed Sheeran doesn't, and Adele doesn't, but...
Adele does a bit, because she's got that soul sound, you know.
I mean, her influences were American right at the start. Yeah. The great American, you know, blues and jazz singers. So I think it's just as you are, really, that Harry lives over there. He's in a relationship with an American woman. His manager, who he sees probably every week or every day on tour, you know.
Yeah, he's American.
He's American. Yeah. His band are American.
Yeah.
You know, his best buddy in the band, Mitch, he's American.
Yeah.
So
he hears it all the time.
It's just influence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody does that. I find I always do it when I go around the country in the UK, you know. I'm suddenly, you know, practicing myself as a fan of Liverpool Football Club or something, you know. It's just you can't help yourself, you just do it.
So finally, can you tell us why is Harry different than other superstars that have been before?
I think Harry, well, he brings everything to the table that you want in a superstar, that you need. You have to be good at what you can do. But and he looks great, obviously. But I think what is interesting about him is the way he is diverse in what he's been doing. So he is an enormous name in fashion already. He's won awards. I think it's only going to be a matter of time before we have the Harry Styles fashion exhibition. Did you go to the Alistair McQueen one?
Which was
great. And I think there'll be... Harry's kept all his outfits and everything. So...
He was at the Met Ball. He was kind of hosting it, wasn't he? You can't get more fashion than that in the world.
Totally. And he is great friends with the big movers and shakers in the fashion world.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly that's... something that...
Yeah, and then he's got his brands. And then he's becoming a Hollywood film star.
I mean, he's in that Marvel film and Eternals, isn't it? And very briefly, but the word is that he's going to actually star in a Marvel film for not too long. Maybe next year. I'm not quite sure. Maybe the superfans know. I'm not quite sure when he is next going to be touring over here. Because I think... maybe, I don't want to talk out of turn, but maybe they feel a little bit let down that he toured in the US first. But, you know, there are other things going on in his life.
Yeah. Also, because of COVID, it was probably hard to get over to the UK.
Yeah, it probably was.
Yeah.
But it sounds as if it was... I would love to have gone myself. It sounds like, it was a great tour.
Yeah, so, yeah. What do you think of his music?
I think his solo stuff is fantastic, actually. I was so impressed. I thought as a boy band One Direction were pretty good, I've got to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot better. I'm not gonna upset other fans by saying a lot better than so-and-so. But one of the best, I thought, of boy bands of recent years. So but they were very much a produced in Stockholm type of band, to a certain extent, which obviously very fashionable. I think Harry is absorbing lots of other influences and using it in his music. I think lyrically he's improving all the time, and as there's so much as I say in the book, you know, when you're 16 or 17, you don't have a lot of life experience to talk about in songs. But, you know, 10 years on, 11 years, 12 years on, you know, lots of things have started to happen to you. I mean, you know, Harry had a stalker in London, didn't he? He had there was an attempted mugging at knife point, then there are the various relationships he's been in, various family deaths. His stepfather, who he's very fond of, died a year or two ago. His grandfather died only a few months back. So these all are things that enrich your experience.
Yeah. And make you grow up even more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think Harry can take generations with him, and I think that's very important. I remember speaking to a mum who had taken... her teenage daughter to, you know, quite a few One Direction things, and also to see Harry Styles on his first tour. And she said to me, "I actually really like it."
Brilliant.
So I thought,
it's all ages.
It's all ages.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, he really is a superstar. I mean, he really is a star. To be able to have the talent to do all those things is incredible. And he's a really nice guy. I mean, what could be better?
Absolutely. As a modern man.
I really admire him. Harry Styles, The Making of a Modern Man by Sean Smith is out now and published by HarperCollins. Thank you so much for coming on to Man Week onto Radio Gorgeous. It was great fun having you.
It's been a great pleasure. Next time.